Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, I'm Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And our guest today is Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Agencies.
Hello.
Hi, Chad. How are you doing today?
Good, and yourself?
Good. Can you tell us a little bit about the Nesbitt Agencies?
Absolutely. The Nesbitt Agencies is an independent insurance agency. We're located in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. We started in 1974. It's a second-generation company. My father started it. We have 11 offices total. 10 of them are in Minnesota, and one's in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah.
Does your dad get to go to that office?
He's the one that, fortunately, he's down there a lot more than me. He allows me to go there in July.
In July.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good dad, doesn't it? So it's safe to say this is a full-service agency. You write every kind of insurance known to man.
Absolutely. When we opened the door, we started as a personal lines agency. My father was a one-man shop, kind of the American dream. It started out of the backseat of his car. My mom was the secretary.
It's not a garage this time.
Yeah, it was not a garage. But he's grown over the years. We've gone from that situation to these 11 offices. We've got about 100 employees, and we write all lines. Our goal was really to be the one-stop shop. So we've got a separate division for financial services, a separate division for benefit services, personal lines, and commercial lines.
Wow. Full service agency for sure. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about what a new business owner needs to know if they've just bought a business or if they're starting a business.
Great.
And I'm sure you've had people call and say, I started that business in the garage and I'm making products and I'm doing this and somebody said I needed insurance.
Absolutely. It's a story that we share with a lot of people. And actually, the majority of what we write is commercial insurance, and small business is a major player in our marketplace. And it's always kind of fun to see this from the ground up. People that have an idea or they've had a dream or they've had it handed down decide to take the next steps and start their own small business. And there's a lot of things that they need to be considering when they do this insurance-wise. So that's the guidance. That's what we're here for. So
what's
I guess one of the
first things that you ask them to do?
One of the first things we ask them to do is to actually sit down and talk to us a little bit about what they've got going on right now as far as the exposures. Do they have a storefront? Do they have any employees? Kind of get an idea of where they're going to be today and where they're going to be in the future. What are those goals? And then kind of just talk them through the process. We like to tell them about insurance being more of a strategic asset for them. Don't look at it as something that's a burdensome, something that's as some people like to call it, a necessary evil. We like to tell them that it's something that you need to use, and it can be your friend. And if you're going to grow, you need to understand your exposures, and you need to know how to control them.
Give me an example of an exposure.
An exposure would be, if you're just getting started, property. So let's say, for example, I guess the easiest way to look at it is, let's say that I'm one of these small business owners and I'm just getting started in the business and I've had an idea. My grandma makes great ice cream. I've always loved it. So I decide that I'm going to open up a shop and sell this ice cream. So one of the main exposures that I would have then is opening up a store. I'd have property. I'd be making this ice cream, so I have my product. And then I would have liability. So anything, if somebody's coming in, they're having this, those are some of the exposures that you have. You have a product exposure. You have a premises exposure. And you have if you decide to hire employees, you have a workers' compensation exposure.
Now, when you're saying exposures, you're saying something could happen that you can't anticipate, or?
That's exactly right. Property.
Liability exposure.
Well, yeah, on liability side, exactly. Using the example that I gave, your ice cream here would be your product. So if somebody came in and was to get ill, they're sitting in your restaurant, they eat something, they're not feeling good afterwards, popular thing with the peanut exposure going on right now with like salmonella. Hate to bring that up, but those are the types of exposures. or somebody slips and falls when they're entering your facility. Those are the types of things that you need to watch out for. Anything that can cause bodily harm or property damage to another individual is what your liability is going to pick up for you.
Okay.
Now, kind of the order of the business, Chad. We've had a business attorney on. We've had a CPA on. In both cases, we talked about the choice of an entity, whether they set up a C corporation or an LLC, some type of tax pass-through corporation. Talked about the taxable effects of that, and we've talked about the liability effects from a lawsuit exposure with the attorney. So, a small business owner, he's got into business somehow, some product, some service, sits down with the lawyer and the CPA, chooses an entity, sets that all up, and he's off to the races. The next stop probably is at your shop to say, okay, here we are. And if I'm manufacturing a product, then I got to talk about product liability insurance.
That's exactly right. The stages that you just gave is usually how it happens. A person should sit down first with a CPA and an attorney, and then what will happen there is come over, let's address those exposures, then come to us, and let's talk about how you can get those covered. If you are manufacturing something, that product, absolutely. Again, bodily injury or property damage to another individual, that's what you're concerned about, and that's what your liability insurance is going to take care of for you.
Now, on the product liability insurance, if you're manufacturing a widget or ice cream or whatever it might be, I understand that there's some training programs that can be helpful to make sure that your product is manufactured properly and that you're operating your shop or your organization in a safe manner so that you can control some of those exposures. Do some of your companies help with those things?
Well, the product liability, that's something that's kind of a litigious situation that's going on there. That's more of a legal deal. As far as loss control and safety programs internally, absolutely. That's one way of controlling your costs. In a facility, if you have a manufacturing facility, you most likely have employees. And one of the things that you can do to help control your cost there is a formal loss control program. So it's something along those lines where you're addressing the needs of your employee. You've got a active safety program. Things of that nature are going to help control those costs long term.
Now, is that something that you arrange with loss control professionals that come in and teach some classes, or how does that work?
Absolutely, and that's something that, again, back to when we first sit down and address the needs of a small business owner, when they come to us and they tell us what they're doing. For example, you talked about the manufacturer. We would sit with them and say, okay, listen, do you have a formal loss control program in place? And if they were to say no, then what we want to do is make sure that we're partnering them with a company or ourselves that's going to provide that service for them.
But early on, then you just talk to them about, let's set this up carefully, let's do this, and on a startup, there are startup issues, and I imagine the product liability is something that we'll get into in another segment.
Absolutely.
For the startup, one of the things we talked about with the business lawyer was a buy-sell agreement and talking about bad things that might happen, like if you get disabled or if you die, and quite often they put together a buy-sell agreement, and that provides for provisions for disability insurance and life insurance to fund it. So those kind of issues you get into as well, right?
Absolutely. Again, back at ground zero, those are things that you should be thinking about as a business owner is, okay, what can I do today that can help me in the future? And a buy-sell agreement, if you have a partnership, if you decide to set it up as an LLC or a C-Corp, those are all things you need to be discussing. How am I going to get into this? How am I going to grow? And then finally, how am I going to exit?
Are you going to get out? Absolutely.
Exactly.
And hopefully they don't exit disabled or dead.
But,
but quite often, you
that's
have
the
to...
ultimate goal is that they retire nicely.
So. Yes, and still alive.
Nice
and
transition there.
Good transition. So when we're starting out, then we started up this business, we've entered into a partnership agreement or a buy-sell agreement, we talked to you about some disability insurance in case something bad happens, we talked about life insurance to fund it, and then we talk about, okay, what other type of insurance do I need? When I open up an office, and we do live and work in Minnesota, there's going to be snow, there's going to be rain, there's going to be things. When visitors come to my office, they might slip and fall and hurt themselves. That's called business liability insurance.
That happens, right? Exactly.
Or leap into the pond behind...
Oh, there, Sam's going swimming on us, Chad. We're in trouble.
Now, unfortunately, I don't have any stories about anybody falling into ponds, but certainly we've had numerous cases of individuals that have had slip and falls on their facility. You know, they forget to go out there and they shovel the walk. Little maintenance, things like that. You know, they don't think about it at the time until it's too late. Somebody's walking in the door and they mention as they're walking in, their backside is full of snow. Guess what I did on your walk? So it's too late at that particular point. So,
and their arm's sticking out of their ear and they say, I think we got a problem here.
That's exactly right.
Do you have a comparison of someone who had the correct insurance and someone who didn't in a situation like that, and what happened?
Well, if you had a situation like that, if there was a slip and fall and it wasn't covered, it's because they didn't have liability insurance in place at the time, and you do not want to be your own attorney and handle your own claims. Property insurance is something that you see come up quite often where people aren't adequately insured, and that's something that you do have to kind of take a time out when you're first getting started, have somebody come in and do a proper assessment of your business, make sure that you've got accurate inventories, because that's where we see kind of the biggest gaps in coverage. Mm-hmm. And on a policy, if you look at it, there's something called co-insurance too, which is kind of it's a formula or a mechanism that an insurance company will use to make sure that you're not trying to cheat them. There's usually an 80 or 90% co-insurance. And what that means is that whatever value you're telling them, you're within that percentage, 80% of the value that you've given them, 90% to the value that you've given them. And if you're not within that realm, then what they'll do is they'll penalize you in the event of a claim. So if you had $100,000 in property and you actually decided to report $50,000 and pay a premium on $50,000, in the event of a claim, they're only going to cut a check for half. So those are things that people need to pay attention to, because there are some things in place.
Could be an expensive
Down the road. That's exactly right.
Strategy.
Yeah, and the worst time to explain something like that is at the time of the claim.
Right.
You know, it's best to sit down and catch that beforehand. And that's why you should be talking to your CPA, you know, or accurate inventory and books internally.
So are we talking about insuring for the replacement cost?
Correct.
As opposed to fair market value?
Correct.
You know, when you go out and buy furniture, fixture, and equipment, it costs you a mint. But the day after you get it in and it's used, you couldn't sell it to anybody to save your life. But on the other hand, if there's some kind of a hurricane or fire or what have you, and you do have to replace it, it's replacement cost again. So that
correct.
You're talking about
insuring getting the full market value. Well, also, what I'm making sure is that what you're reporting to the insurance company and the property limit that you're putting down on your policy, when you open up your policy to the property page and you see a limit of $150,000 or $100,000, make sure that's accurate, because your premium is going to be based upon that limit. But like I said, the insurance companies aren't just going to give you all sorts of leeway here. They want to make sure that you're insuring that to proper value. So if you don't have that on your building or your contents is nowhere where it needs to be, then there's this co-insurance penalty that can kick in. So it's something that you need to make sure that you're talking to your agent about, addressing it with them, and you know, making sure that you're keeping accurate records.
So do you compare that amount to the actual cost that you paid for like furniture and fixture and equipment from your depreciation schedule? Is that where you pick that up?
Well, anything that if you've got the receipts when it comes in, if you have an appraisal for the building, you know, if you're getting your building appraised every 5 years or so, just so you're staying on top of it. Insurance company knows you're not going to be 100% accurate, but they want to make sure that you're in the ballpark.
Sure, you don't want to pay those appraisers every year. That gets kind of expensive too. Now, we're going to be talking about some other additional types of insurance, but it seems to me that the reality of the situation is I just started manufacturing something in my garage. I finally woke up to the fact that I had to set up an entity, and I talked to my lawyer, and I talked to my CPA, and I'm over talking to you. Cash is king, and I haven't sold very much of this yet. I don't have a whole lot of money to spend in my business. Where do you start? I mean, a startup business that doesn't have a lot of assets, but they're just getting into business. What's the basic minimums? And then where do you start with that? You can't afford to write a huge check and buy every type of insurance available to man when you're just starting out. So where's the reality in that?
Actually, great question. When you're starting a manufacturing facility, and we'll use that example, if somebody's getting started, your exposure, your sales basis is what's going to be for your liability. So if they're trying to base your premium dollars, it's going to be based on what your sales, anticipated sales, are going to be for the year. Now, when you look at a policy and you see a premium amount, it's an estimate. And it's going to be an estimation based upon the information that you're giving people. And some people, when they're starting a new business, think they've got the greatest idea in the world, and that's great. That's fantastic. But if you don't...
entrepreneurial promise of hope.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
With no sales.
Right.
Yeah. And people are going to, you know, they're going to feel they're going to be millionaires, so they'll tell us that there's going to be a $5 million sales number or something along those lines. I'm going to really just break out this year, and it's going to be fantastic, although they've never tested the market. So they'll tell us $5 million. We'll report $5 million in sales, and they'll actually do about $500,000. So it's kind of one of those things where be honest with yourself and make sure that you understand your business plan and report accurate sales and think it through up front, because you want to kind of hedge a little bit on the light side. So if you think you're going to do a couple million dollars in sales, well, I always say report it just a little bit low as you're getting started, and then make sure that you're updating that so that you don't see an audit at the end of the year. Because what's going to happen is you're going to file with an insurance company, you're going to tell them the sales, they're going to estimate a premium. At the end of the year, they're going to sit down with you, and they're going to say, okay, you told us you were going to do $1 million in sales, and now you're sitting at $1.5 million. You owe us for that additional exposure of $500,000, because that's the difference between what you told us and what you had. And you'll have to pay an additional amount that's due at that time.
So what type of insurance is that we're talking about? talking about?
That would be liability insurance. That would also be your workers' compensation.
Your liability insurance is tied to your revenues?
It's going to be tied to your sales, exactly. Especially in the manufacturing, because your exposure, if you remember an insurance company, what they're looking at is how many of these products are going to the market. And the only way to gauge that is by your sales.
So this is your product liability insurance.
It's going to be tied to your product liability, exactly.
But not your general business liability insurance.
No, that's how they're going to use. They have to have a rating basis upon which to calculate a premium. So your product liability is tied in with your business liability. That's going to pick up premise, your slip and fall. It's going to pick up your product exposure, bodily injury, and property damage done by your product, harm to others. It's also going to pick up fire legal if you're in a facility where you're renting a building and you set a fire by accident. You know, you're the responsible for it. It's coming back towards you. Anything involving in the liability side, that's all going to be how they calculate the premium. Your product would be tied into that.
How would you work that for a service company? Same thing?
Service company, correct. Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Let's back up for a minute here. We were talking about a startup business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of someone invented something in their garage, and now they did this entity, and they maybe got $100,000 in sales, and now they have to find a facility. How do you build this piecemeal? If we form the entity, we have to have disability and life insurance. It's a good thing to have in case something bad happens. And what's the next piece? Is the next piece general business liability? Let's
Correct.
Just say this is a service business for now, and we're offering our services, and maybe we've only got $100,000 in sales. What's the next most immediate need for insurance as we build these things going forward?
If you don't have any employees, then it's going to be liability insurance. If you have employees, it's liability and workers' compensation. Workers' compensation is required if you have any employees in the state of Minnesota, and it's mandatory in most states.
Okay, so the business liability insurance, that's going to be if somebody slips and falls and you get involved in some litigation, that's covered. If there's some kind of damage or theft to your property, that kind of thing is covered. What about loss of income? What about employee theft? Are those things that are part of a basic business policy?
A business policy, correct. That's going to be on your property side. Your crime coverage, that is not part of your business liability. Employee dishonesty, anything like that, that is not picked up under a business under your liability policy.
Wait. So if someone comes in and rips off the building,
mm-hmm.
that's not covered.
Well, not if you have to have property coverage. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. If you have property coverage in place, so we kind of have two things going on.
So a startup business is probably going to lease some space somewhere.
Yep. Well,
and they're going to have some furniture, fixture, and equipment.
Sure.
And so there's a basic business liability policy that I'm assuming they can buy.
Yes.
Separate and aside from your work comp when you have employees, understand that.
Yep.
So that would be the next piece, that just that basic business policy?
Yep, they call it a business owner's policy, which is a BOP. You'll hear that term quite a bit when you're out there. And what that does is it takes your liability and it takes your property and it combines them all under one. So it's going to give you a minimum amount of coverage in the event of that theft that you talked about before. It's going to pick up your liability, which is the premises exposure and the product exposure. There are going to be some ancillary things built in there, some employee dishonesty coverages, and that varies from company to company. So again, that's something that when you're getting started, you're going to want to sit with an agent and you're going to want to go through and tell them exactly what's going on in your unique situation so that they understand to make sure that you do have the right coverages in place.
So
that little things like the theft,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make sure, you know, if they're telling you, I'm working out of my garage and I don't have anything in there, I'm just manufacturing some things. So you don't carry property coverage. Now that happens and you haven't got, you know, the right coverage in place.
So there'll be a laundry list of choices that you go through with the new business owner to say, we can get you this coverage, and let them choose?
Correct. Well, we'll do, you know, because coverage is going to vary by industry. So what we first do, kind of going back to square one, is we'll sit down with that client and find out what industry they're in. Is it manufacturing? Is it a service industry? Is it retail? Then we'll go through and say, okay, what industry, what are you manufacturing? Okay, who's your product going to be going out to? Do you have a facility? And that laundry list that you're talking about is exactly what we would do. We would go step by step with them, asking them these questions so that we make sure that we tailor a policy specifically to what they need.
So then maybe the first year they're going with basic coverages or the minimum coverages on everything, and maybe the second year they're at $500,000 worth of revenues from $100,000, and then they sit down and have an annual review, and then you say, okay, now you've got some revenue, now you've got a little bigger organization, now you've got people people, and then we start talking about maybe we should increase these coverages because you've got something to protect. Is that the idea?
That's exactly right. Yeah, then you put more of a risk management plan in place. You kind of have an idea of what's going on. You have an idea of what direction they're heading. You know, if you have employees in place, you start looking at, okay, loss control programs, safety programs, return to work programs, ways to help mitigate claims, ways to keep your costs down. That is the phase two of these things. You have to start somewhere. So mm-hmm. in the original one, we
want phase one is educating that new business owner on what the exposures might be, and here's what we can cover, and here's what you might choose to wait on until you've got enough income going and enough assets so that you've got something to protect. Is that...
That's exactly right. Yeah, you don't want to just take that initial policy and make the assumption that that's going to make it through the life cycle of your business. You know, you got to start somewhere, so let's sit down and get it started, but make sure that you're in communication with your agent anytime you buy a piece of property, anytime you see your sales increase, certainly anytime you're hiring an employee, anytime you're purchasing a vehicle, anytime you have kind of like a life event that takes place inside of your business, make sure you contact your agent so that you have that auto added to the policy. Or if you're going to buy a business or if you're going to expand that business, also you want to talk to your agent too, because, you know, he can help you offset, you know, some exposures that you might not be aware of. You know, you're buying a facility, okay, but the facility is not sprinkled. So
what are some questions that a small business owner should ask that potential agents to know that they're getting the right kind of agent? Because I don't know a lot of people that have this kind of dialogue with their agents.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. And that's something that before you go down and you sit with your agent, think through exactly what, you know, you got to have an understanding of your exposures first. So know exactly what you're doing, what's going on, and then make sure that who you're dealing with is a business insurance agent, you know, not somebody that's doing personal lines and business on the side, not somebody who's a life agent mm-hmm. doing business on the side. There are a lot of agents that are out there that are exclusively business insurance agents, and that's all they do. They don't try to be a jack of all trades. This is their area. Then you have to make a decision between a captive and a independent agent. A captive agent is one that represents one company, one product, and that's all they can serve. Now, that might fit your needs one day and may not fit your needs the next day. Now, mm-hmm. an independent agent represents multiple agents or multiple carriers and has options for you, so they can kind of expand and trade. So if one carrier is not fitting your needs anymore, whether it be price, product, or maybe the relationship, a claim issue or something like that, you have the flexibility to make a change internally. So okay. you can work with the same agent, but you can change carriers.
Okay, I hate to keep beating on this, but I remember when I first started a business, things were tight and things were tough and there wasn't a lot of money. And I certainly didn't buy a Cadillac policy back in those days. I called a friend of mine who was an insurance agent and I said, listen, help me understand where my exposures might be and let's figure out just the basic policy. And money was tight, and so that's where we started. And I guess I like to equate it to the fact that when you're a young person right out of college, you maybe don't have much for assets, don't have a house. You're lucky if you got a car paid for, a couple of bucks in your pocket. You don't have a whole lot to lose, and therefore you don't need a $10 million life insurance policy. I mean, if you don't have a wife and children and so forth. But it's the same thing for a startup business. When you're first starting, most business owners that I know that started businesses, you know, they started them on their credit card, and they started it from $10,000 they borrowed from grandma, and they don't have a lot of money. So isn't it really a situation where you want to make sure there's no gaps or exposures that you are unaware of, and then let's put the basic policy in place, and then let's have an annual checkup as we go and see what you can afford and see what exposures you can afford and not afford. Is that how it works?
Exactly, and that's what you would do when you first sit down. You also don't want to be in a position where you lower limits and sacrifice the exposure. You know, if it's cost effective and it's only going to cost you 10% potentially to increase your liability from a $500,000 limit to $1 million limit, then certainly we're going to encourage that person to carry the $1 million limit.
If it's cheap and difference is not substantial.
Yeah, and you've got a product and you're going out the door with it, you'd hate to have one incident happen right off the bat where you never really get your feet wet and it's all over. There's other things that you can do on the property side to control your costs too. You can increase your deductibles. Everybody will tell you that you can do that. And we always say, well, pay attention to what you have in the bank too, because make sure it's cost effective and also make sure that you can handle it. We've seen people that have made the mistake of upping their limits from 1,000 to 10,000, then had two claims in a row.
Increasing their deductibles
from 5 to 10,000, and then you have a couple of claims, you know, back-to-back.
First question is, can you afford to pay that?
That's exactly right. Yeah. If you don't have liquid assets, if you haven't got, you know, that kind of money sitting in the bank, you know, that's the thing that we tell everybody that, yeah, this might save you $10,000 on your premium. However, you know, if something was to happen here, you're on the hook for the first $10,000 of that claim. So let's take a look at what you've had in the past. And if the history's clean and they've got the money there, then we say go ahead and you know, you can go ahead and up that a little bit and take on a little bit more of the risk yourself. A decision that's made not at ground zero, but as they start to grow. But if they have a history, then we tell them to be careful. You know, you may not be saving yourself in the long run money by what you're doing here.
Well, you have to take a look at the cost benefit, I would guess, too. If increasing the deductible from, say, $500 to $1,000 only saves you $10, why do it?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, as you say, going from $1,000 to $10,000, if that saves you a substantial part of the premium and you can afford the exposure, then maybe it's worth taking a look at.
That's exactly right. And I've sat with clients before and advised them on this where it's made sense. They haven't had claims in a good number of years. They have a well-maintained building. And I tell them it makes sense to go from to raise the deductible. And then sure enough, you know.
Bang.
Something happens, and they're looking at me going, boy, you're a real genius.
For 20 years I paid for this, and now you said, let's save a couple of bucks, and boom, here we go.
Yeah, to keep your conscience clear, you do have to have a little bit of history developed before you want to make a decision like that.
Well, you're talking about being a very proactive part of the business team by sitting down with that business owner, and along with the attorney, making sure that that you know where the exposures are and that you insure for the things that might be an eventuality, and then make sure that you pay an appropriate amount with the right deductibles and the right limits.
That's exactly right.
So you're really a partner of the business owner to try to help him, you know, buy what he needs, but not overspend as well.
That's exactly right. And all small businesses should sit down first with a CPA and an attorney and establish the business structure and then come to us and talk about the exposures. So we should be an active part of that. Otherwise, those gaps that you're talking about, those things do occur. We do have that happen, unfortunately. And on numerous occasions, I shouldn't say numerous, that's not true, but on occasion, it will happen where somebody will tell us about the vehicle 1 year after they bought the vehicle. Well, you don't want that to happen. So why you need to make sure that your team includes your insurance agent, and that anytime you do anything in your business, whether it be an increase in sales, adding an employee, buying a new piece of property, anything like that, or even if you're not sure, then talk to your agent.
And make sure the vehicle insurance, if it's a business vehicle, dovetails with your liability insurance as well, right?
That's correct.
Now, one last quick question on the a lot of these startup owners are driving their personal vehicle and they're doing business. Do they need to get special coverage? Do they need to report to you that they were using the vehicle for business use?
Well, actually, you've kind of hit a sensitive subject for me because there's some argument in the business practice right now as to whether or not a personal vehicle should be listed as a personal policy and under a personal policy, and a business use policy covered under a commercial. I am one that believes that if it's being used for commercial purposes and it's titled to the business, that you keep it away from individual family members and use it exclusively for business. The reason why is the assets of your corporation are following that vehicle. So, especially in a situation where you have a partnership and maybe your partner has a teen youth driver, something along those lines, you need to be aware of wherever that vehicle is titled is where that insurance is going. So the assets of your corporation are following that vehicle everywhere it goes. And who's ever driving is the one that's carrying that with them.
Ooh, I pressed the button on that time, didn't I?
I don't know if there's enough time to really get into that one. That could be a whole show.
We're just about out of time for this show, but I think we'll get into that the business use, personal use of the vehicle in depth at another show. But I think this has been very valuable for our listeners to know that if you're just starting or just buying a business, there's a lot of things to think about, and after they talk to their lawyer and their CPA, they should come talk to a good insurance agent that can help them with all these issues.
Absolutely.
I'm Tom Lyons, and for my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer Jorgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank Chad Nesbitt and the Nesbitt Agencies for being with us on todaysbusinessradio.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.